this evening. 1 Timothy chapter number 1 in our Bibles tonight. 1 Timothy chapter number 1 in your Bibles this evening. First Timothy chapter number 1 and verse number 8 tonight. Miss Eloise, we're so excited about the baptism today. What a blessing that was. And in fact, can you just, I'll just tell everybody, you don't have to give a testimony, but it's your grandson, right, that got saved? And his girlfriend's dad led him to the Lord, right? And he got baptized this morning. And what a blessing that is. It's exciting to see somebody that truly understands it and is born again. And we were rejoicing with you. I mentioned it today, this morning. So it's good to see you back tonight and back in your walking boot. But it's good to see you tonight. 1 Timothy chapter number 1 in our Bibles. Notice there in verse number 8, the Bible says, "But we know that the law is good if a man use it lawfully, knowing this, that the law was not made for the righteous man, but for the lawless and disobedient, for the ungodly and sinner, for the unholy and profane, for murderers of fathers and murderers of mothers, for menslayers, for whoremongers, for them that defile themselves with mankind, for men stealers, for liars, for perjured persons, and if there be any other thing that is contrary to sound doctrine, according to the glorious gospel of the blessed God which is committed to my trust. And I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who hath enabled me, for that he counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry, who was before a blasphemer and a persecutor and injurious. But I obtained mercy of the Lord because I did it ignorantly in unbelief. The grace of our Lord was exceeding abundant with faith and love, which is in Christ Jesus." This is a faithful saying, worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. Howbeit, for this cause I obtained mercy, that in me first Jesus Christ might show forth all longsuffering for a pattern to them which should hereafter believe on him to life everlasting. Let's go to the Lord in prayer this evening as we dive into this message. Father, help me as I preach. I pray that you would allow me to clearly convey your truth. And Father, I pray that as we look at the law, and Lord, we look at Paul and his gratefulness for saving, and I pray, God, that we would leave with a deeper understanding of your word. And God, I pray that you would just do something special in our midst, in Jesus' name. Amen. For the last 2 weeks, we've been going through the book of Timothy, really going verse by verse through the book of Timothy. And be honest with you, as a pastor, this is very convicting for me because really Paul is preaching to me. And the Holy Spirit of God is dealing with me as a pastor where Timothy was at, but also he's dealing with us as a church and as a whole. There are some tremendous nuggets of truth that really we need to apply in our lives to be more conformed to the Lord Jesus Christ. And last week we talked about what does biblical preaching look like? And the end of the commandment is charity out of a pure heart and of good conscience and of faith unfeigned. And we dealt with that. And then we talked about there in verse number 6 and verse number 7 how there were some that had turned aside unto vain janglings. They did not stick with the Word of God, but they had got sidetracked. And the importance of having the Word of God be our foundation and be our guide for life. And as we come to verse number 8 with that background, really verse number 6 and verse number 7, Paul was dealing with those that had swerved and that had turned aside on the vain janglings and were desiring to be teachers of the law, understanding that neither what they say nor where they affirm. He comes to verse number 8 and Paul makes a statement. He says, "But we know that the law is good if a man use it lawfully." You understand that the early church was dealing with the issue of the Judaizers that were coming along, and they were teaching, yes, salvation is in Christ, but you also need to be circumcised, you also need to follow the Ten Commandments, you need to follow the law, and there were some false teachers and then false doctrine that was out there that was permeating the local churches. And as these doctrines were being spread, as these false teachers were spewing forth their philosophy and their own selfish teachings, Paul had to deal with these things head on. And Paul said, let me just tell you here, church, Timothy, he said, the law is a good thing. And let me just say this evening that the law is a good thing. And we are under grace in the New Testament age, but understand the Bible talks about the things that were written before were written for our learning, that we might be more conformed to the Lord Jesus Christ. And the things in the Old Testament, man, they are fulfilled in the New Testament, and they are vital to our Christian walk. And understand the Old Testament just as important as the New Testament. As I read my Bible, man, I read my Old Testament, I read my New Testament, man, I ask God to speak to me and challenge me. But Paul said, let me remind you that the law is important. The purpose of law. Why did God give us law? God gave the law to show man that he was guilty before God. You remember before the flood, there were not a lot of commandments for the people on earth. You know, God gave them that rule that you shouldn't kill somebody, and they weren't to eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. But man, you see, as they go through up until the law was given. People were just doing their own thing. And man, there was revelation, and yes, God was moving and God was working. But there in Exodus chapter number 20, Moses goes up on top of the mountain, and God speaks to Moses, gives Moses the Ten Commandments, and then he continues to give Israel instruction and law and what to do and how to live and how to be the children that God had called them to be. Paul said, let me remind you, church, that the law is a good thing. And why did God give the law? God gave the law to show man that he was guilty before God. The purpose of the law was to show a need that could not be met by man-made rules, but only through Jesus Christ. And so what was the purpose of the law? It was to bring man under conviction. It says in Romans 7:7, what shall we say then? Is the law sin? God forbid. Nay, I had not known sin but by the law, for I had not known lust, except the law said, thou shalt not covet. Hey, Paul said to the church of Rome, he said, listen, the law was my schoolmaster. It brought me under deep conviction. It taught me that, man, I'm guilty before God. He said, I didn't know I shouldn't lust until I read the scriptures where thou shalt not covet. Hey, I did not know the rules until God laid them out. The law was a tool used of God to show man their need. I think about using of the law to show man their need for the Savior is a whole lot different than so many individuals today. There's a lot of people that say, well, you know what, if we're going to lead somebody to Jesus Christ, and I don't know about you, but I've been around some folks that have said, well, you know, let's see as many people saved as possible. And by the way, I'm for witnessing, and we are witnessing. We ought to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. But let me just say, when it comes to salvation, somebody has got to realize that they are condemned before God before they'll ever be born again. I've been around some people that, in fact, I went to a camp one time. It was a training kids, or training teenagers how to teach kids. It was a CEF camp. And I remember we would go out and do the five-day Bible clubs, and kids would come back, and it was almost like a competition. You know, how many did you get to pray to ask Jesus to be your Savior? Well, what were they doing? They were saying, hey, 1, 2, 3, repeat after me. You know, say my little prayer and you'll go to heaven. And man, they were saying, do you want to go to heaven where there's a street of gold? And then you need to ask Jesus to take away your sin. And there was no deep conviction. There was nobody realizing that they were guilty before God. Hey, what is the purpose of law? It's to show mankind that they're guilty before God, not just this quick little prayer, and you're going to heaven. We've got to realize that we are guilty before God. God gave it to the Israelites to show them their need for God, and gave them a manual on how to live the victorious Christian life. And so Paul said to the these believers, he says, listen, it says in verse 8, but we know that the law is good. Notice, if a man use it lawfully. What's the purpose of the law? It's got to be used lawfully. Understand, it's got to be used the way that God intended it to be used. The false teachers were using sections of the law to promote a form of legalism, to put folks under a list of man-made rules for salvation instead of going through Jesus Christ. You understand, legalism is simply anything that is added to salvation apart from grace through Christ. And these false teachers are saying, well, yes, it's through Jesus, but you got to do all these different things and then you can go to heaven. Hey, Paul said, no, it's good if it's used lawfully. How is it used lawfully? It's got to follow the instructions. What's the instructions? It's how God laid it out. I think about the illustration for that. I think about medicine. Medicine is great if you have surgery, right? I think about Mr. Richard, Miss Andrew, you guys just had surgery a little while back. Man, you got cut open, man, you know, sores all get out. Hey, medicine is good to help during that time of surgery. And I know people go to the hospital, and man, they're in great pain, so they take Vicodin. You know, they take oxycodone, right? And boy, they use that, and that medicine will help them to deal with the pain. But if it's used lawfully, then it's fine. But if it's used, you know, out of turn, and you got major problems. You get see people all the time that get arrested because they're addicted to the pills, right? Why? Because they got addicted maybe after a surgery, and they just kept on taking it, and they got addicted. Why? Because it was no longer being used lawfully. Paul says the law is good if it's used in accordance to the will of God. I think about another illustration. I remember a couple years ago, I was cutting down some trees in my backyard. Of course, you know, when you cut a tree down, you're supposed to, you know, be all, you know, all tied in, follow all the rules. Well, I had my, those saws you plug in, not a chainsaw, but the ones you plug in that go nice and slow. Well, I'm up there, and I'm cutting one of these trees down, and I'm standing on my tippy toes, and I'm holding out like that, and boy, I'm about 20 feet in the air. Let me just say, that's not using that little saw correctly, right? You know what I'm talking about? Man, if I'm gonna sue them and get hurt, then I've got to make sure I'm not doing crazy stuff, right? I've got to use it correctly. You can take something good and use it for negative. You can take something that is righteous and use it for negative. I think about coffee at McDonald's. How many of you have ever read the coffee cup at McDonald's? You know, it's caution, drinking this, spilling this on yourself, it will cause major burning, maybe even death, you know? Why'd they have to put that on there? Because some lady sued them for spilling coffee on themselves. Hey, you know what? Coffee is good as long as you don't spill it on yourself. Hey, chainsaw is good as long as you're not standing on your tiptoes 20 feet in the air trying to cut down a tree. Hey, let me just say, medicine is good if it's in the right way, being used at the right time. So Paul said, the law is good if it's used correctly. So he goes on in verse number 9, he says, we're continuing to dive into this. Verse number 9, he said, knowing this, that the law was not made for the righteous man. The law was not made for the converted man. Who was it made for? What was it made for? It was made for the purpose of it. It was made for the lawless and disobedient, for the ungodly and for the sinner, for the unholy and profane, for murders of fathers and murders of mother from ancestors. He begins in verse number 9 to describe the purpose of the law. What was it made for? Well, it was made for those that are lawless and disobedient. And really, Paul in verse number 9 and verse number 10 highlights the Ten Commandments. He says, listen, it's made for those that are disobedient. The Bible says that thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind. Thou shalt not take the Lord thy God in vain. And so what was he saying? He was saying, listen, the unholy and profane, man, those are the blasphemers. Those are those that are on television taking God's name in vain. Josiah and I, we were at his birthday party yesterday. Little boy, probably, 8, 9 years old, said the Jesus Christ's name in vain. And man, I'm sitting there, I just was shocked, man. There's a little kid, and mama's like, that's a 25-cent fine, you know, for cussing. I'm like, man, that's a little more than just cussing. That's wicked before God. Watch out, that's dangerous. But hey, Paul said the law was given for the unholy and profane. He said it was given for the murderers of fathers and murderers of mothers. That covers Commandment 5 and 6, where the Bible says, thou shalt not kill, and honor thy father and thy mother. Man, the Bible talks about honoring your father in Ephesians. It goes on in verse number 9. It says, for menslayers, for whoremongers in verse 10, for them that defile themselves with mankind. Man, that's commandment number 7. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Men steal is the 8th commandment. Thou shalt not steal. For liars and perjured persons is the 9th commandment. Thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. Hey, and he goes on and he says, listen, he said, if there be any other thing that is contrary to sound doctrine, Paul says, listen, everything that was mentioned in the Old Testament, man, the law, it's a good thing. But what's the purpose of it? It's to show mankind that they are guilty before God. And so Paul is setting up the premise. Here I am. We're dealing with the false teachers. Men, they perverted it. The grace of God. They've been teaching their false doctrine. He said the law is good. Here's why it's good. It points out mankind's sin. And he continues going down. He says, listen. He said, if there be any other thing that is contrary to sound doctrine, contrary to the word of God. He said, if there's any other thing that is against the Bible, man, that the Word of God is given to point out man's hopelessness and helplessness before God. I think about a lot of people, they say, well, you know, Pastor, I'm depending upon my good works to get me to heaven. By the way, they say that up in New Hampshire, and they say that down here, they just camouflage it different, all right? Up north, they'd say, I'm going to keep the golden rule, you know, and treat my neighbor as myself, you know. Down here, they're like, well, I'm a church member, I was baptized, my father is a deacon, and my great-grandpa built this church, so I'm going to heaven, right? We just camouflage it different. But you know, the reality is the law was given to show that mankind's chain before God that is broken. You say, what do you mean by that? Well, I think about a chain, all right? Your chain has many different links, right? And let's illustrate it this way is you're going down the river in a canoe, and you hear there's a waterfall up, 100 yards up ahead. All right, there I am, I'm standing on the bank, you're floating down the river, and I throw you a chain, right, to try to help you. You know what? One broken chain link will mess you up. You'll go right over the waterfall, right? You say, well, Pastor, I've not killed anybody. All right, but have you committed adultery? Well, you say no. Well, Bible says if a man, whatsoever man thinks in his heart, that is he. If he thinks upon a woman to lust after, he hath committed adultery with her in his heart. Jesus said, hey, that points out you're guilty. Thou shalt not lie. We've all lied. Thou shalt not steal. Have you been faithful in your giving? Have you robbed God? Have you ever taken a cookie when you're growing up? Hey, the chain link is broken. And the purpose of the law is to point out that, you know what? Before a righteous and a holy God, to meet God's standards, you've got to be perfect. And of course, we talked about that when witnessing. The Bible says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. God's standard is perfection. We've all missed the mark. We've all have chain links that are broken off. And because of that, we're guilty before God. So Paul says, here's where I'm at. Here's where we're going. He says, the law is good if it's used correctly. What's the purpose of the law? It's to point men to mankind. Look in to the Savior. It says in verse number 11. He said, according to the glorious gospel of the blessed God, which is committed my trust. What's the purpose of the gospel? What's the purpose of the law? Is to point mankind toward their need for the Savior. And so Paul said, all these false teachers are coming along. They're teaching their false doctrine. Man, they're out there. They're trying to do their thing. Paul said, let me just reemphasize, the law is good, but we got to use it correctly. And he goes on. He said, here's the purpose of the law. Verse 11, according to the glorious gospel of the blessed God, which is committed my trust. All right, knowing the law, we see Paul, as he pointed out, the law was good. But notice, second of all here, the praise of his gratitude. Paul was overwhelmed by the glorious gospel of God Almighty. Paul said, I want you to know, church, I want you to know, Timothy, that as I'm writing this letter to you, I'm overwhelmed at God's goodness to me. Timothy, we've traveled together, we preached the word of God together, and God has entrusted me with that gospel. He said it's committed to my trust. Hey, God Almighty has instructed me. He's given me that charge to preach the gospel. And Paul, with that excitement and that thanksgiving, says, I just thank God that though I was guilty before God, though I was a chief of all sinners, he said, I'm the worst that was out there. Paul said, you know my testimony. He said, I was awful before God. And then God saved me. And after he saved me, not only did he save me from hell, but man, he's using me to preach his gospel. Paul said, I'm just so thankful that that God is using me. It's all about that glorious gospel, the blessed God, which was committed to his trust. I see in this praise, he was entrusted with the gospel. Let me remind you, child of God, the night that you and I are entrusted with the gospel. We hold in our hands, it's our responsibility to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. The Bible says that we are to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. That means tomorrow at the workplace, I need to witness for Christ. That means when we go out to eat, when we are interacting with other people, we have that gospel of Jesus Christ that is committed to our trust. And Paul said, I'm thankful and grateful that God has committed that to my trust. He's placed that burden. He's entrusted me with the gospel, that glorious gospel. That word glorious is according to Webster's dictionary, it's praiseworthy, it's excellent, it's splendid, it's inspiring, admiration. It's a glorious revelation. Hey, Paul said, I'm just so thankful that I've got that good news of Jesus Christ. What's that? The gospel, somebody said, G-O-S-P-E-L means good news. You remember that little song growing up? G-O-S-P-E-L means good news. I don't know if any of you sang that, but gospel means good news. What was committed to Paul's trust? That good news that Jesus Christ came to seek and to save that which was lost. Paul said, I'm overwhelmed with that. He was entrusted with the gospel. Not only that, in verse 11, he said, or verse number 12, he goes on, he says, I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who hath enabled me. So not only did he entrust them, but he enabled me, for that he hath counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry. He said, I'm enabled for the ministry. To enable somebody is to give them tools to get the job done correctly. I think about 4 or 5 years ago, I was at home in Pennsylvania, and Chrissy told me, she said, would you think about tiling our bathroom upstairs? Well, I'll tell you what, I never tiled before, but I figured I can do it. And so I went to Lowe's and I got the tile saw, right? And I got the good tile and I got all the different things that go into tiling. And you know what? I think I did a decent job when I tiled that bathroom. Why? Because I had the right tools. You know, if I had gone and pulled out my jigsaw saw, you know, and tried to do it that way. I would have split those things all over the place, made a big old mess. And, you know, you can tell somebody that has the right tools versus the wrong tools, right? Hey, Paul said about the gospel, he says, I'm thankful that he's enabled me. Man, God's given me the tools to serve him. Child of God, God has given you special gifts and special tools for the enablement of the body of Jesus Christ. And it's our responsibility to use those gifts to serve the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul said, I thank God that he's enabled me to preach the gospel. He's enabled me to travel town after town. He's given me the tools. He's equipped me to go out and to proclaim that gospel of Jesus Christ. Paul was pumped up about what God had done in his life. He had enabled him. Not only had he enabled him, but he counted him worthy to preach the gospel. He looked down. He says, listen, he counted me faithful. Paul said, I was not worthy of it, but God counted me faithful. Understand, we're not worthy to do anything for God. I think about that reality. Here I am tonight preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. I'm standing before you. I'm not worthy to preach the word of God. Paul says, I was not worthy of it. But God said, hey, I'm putting you into the ministry. God has put all of us into the ministry. Doesn't matter what your past is. Doesn't matter what scars you may have in your life. Doesn't matter what the past may be. God has equipped you to go forward for him. I wonder tonight, child of God, what are you doing with those gifts and talents that God has given you? Are you sitting on the sideline? Are you letting them get you off course and off kilter and not be used of God? Hey, he was counted worthy. Let me say, not everyone is worthy to be used of God. I was talking at Josiah's party yesterday. There was a guy there and started talking to me. He had a cool motorcycle. And so I started talking about that. And I said, what do you do for work? He said, well, he just told me about life. And he said, Jay, said, I went to school to be a preacher. I said, really? I said, tell me about it. He said, yeah, I went to school in West Virginia and was working on my master's. And I said, oh. I said, where do you go to church at now? He's like, I don't go to church. I said, well, are you planning on being a preacher? He said, no, preachers don't make any money. He said, I don't want to do that with my life. And I looked at him, I thought, man, here's a guy that's not even kind of worthy to be in the ministry. Boy, he talks about it. I was going to. But man, I'm so thankful this evening that I can stand before you having been placed of God, placed here to do a work for the Savior. God has counted all of us worthy to do something for him. I wonder, what are you doing for the Savior tonight? Are you sitting on the sideline? Are you an individual that is sitting back, relaxing? Paul said, listen, hey, here are the false teachers. They came along. They were doing their thing. They were teaching their false doctrine. We know that the law is good, Timothy. You as a man of God need to stand up and preach the word of God. Why? Because just like you, just like me, we're in the ministry serving God. And Paul said, I'm thankful that not only was I entrusted with the gospel, not only was I enabled for the ministry, but Paul said, I'm thankful that God has placed me into the ministry. It's the end of verse number 12, putting me into the ministry. He put me into the ministry. You know, folks, God could have called us to do anything. He could have called me to be a, you know, install retaining walls. I mean, he could have called me to be a salesman. He could have called me to be an insurance salesman. God could have called me to be anything. But I'm so thankful tonight that he put me into the ministry. What a privilege and what a joy that is. God put him into an exact place where he wanted him to serve. He had a specific place for Paul to serve, and he had a specific place for Timothy to serve. And child of God, God is a specific place for you to serve tonight. I wonder, are you making full proof of your ministry? And so we see, Paul points out the law is good, the purpose of the law. We see the praise of his gratefulness. Man, he's pumped up at God has put him in ministry. But notice in verse number 13, notice Paul's testimony. He said, you know what? He said, I'm not worthy of it. But he goes, he says, who was before? A blasphemer and a persecutor and injurious. And Paul says, you know my testimony before I was saved, there in the book of Acts. Man, Stephen's getting killed, stoned to death, and there I am, I'm signing his death warrant. There Stephen is testifying about receiving into heaven, Jesus giving a standing ovation, and I was there watching. A couple days later, I'm going down the Damascus Road to go arrest more Christians. Paul said, I want you to know I was a blasphemer. Man, I did not respect Jesus Christ. I was against Jesus Christ. Hey, I was against those preaching that gospel. I was blaspheming his holy name. Hey, that's where I was going. He said I was a persecutor. Man, I was going imprisoning guys, throwing them in jail, causing havoc. He said I was injurious. Injurious is really a bully. He said, man, if somebody proclaimed to be a follower of God, man, I was that mean old bully in the schoolyard. I was picking on them. I was making fun of them. I was causing havoc in their life. He says, this was before who I was, but he said in verse 13, he said, but I obtained mercy. because I did it ignorantly in unbelief. And the grace of our Lord was exceeding abundant with faith and love, which is in Christ Jesus. Paul said, I'm so thankful I attained mercy. And I don't know about you folks, but I'm so thankful that as an 11-year-old boy, sitting on a bed, lost it on my way to hell, realizing that I was guilty before God, realizing that before God I was condemned, and I called out to God, I asked Jesus Christ to save me. I'm so thankful that as an 11-year-old boy, I attained mercy. And that I can do something for God today. Why? Because I obtained that mercy. It says in verse number 15, this is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. Hey, what did the law do for Paul? What did the law do for believers? It brought Paul to Christ, but it also brought that sense of humility. Paul said, I want you to know that I'm the chief of sinners. Hey, Paul says, you know what? You can't top me. Man, you want to share stories? You want to talk about how bad you are, how bad you were? Paul said, I can top you all. I was the chief sinner. But Paul said, I thank God that I obtained mercy because of the Lord. Now, verse 17, he goes on. He says, now unto the King eternal, immortal, invisible, the only wise God, be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen. Paul says, listen, because of what God did in my life, man, there's that sense of humility. I was a blasphemer. I was a nobody. I was not walking God's way. But God saved me. Because of that, I'm thankful for his mercy. There's that humility. But Paul moves on in verse 17 to the praise of Almighty God. Man, he was running around doing glory laps, shouting hallelujah. Man, Paul was all pumped up. Why? Because God had saved him, rescued him from hell, and God Almighty was doing a work in his life. I think about the story of John Newton. John Newton was the man that was used of God to write that song, Amazing Grace, How Sweet the Sound, that saved a wretch like me. John Newton was a slave trader, a wicked and a vile man. A man that blasphemed God. In fact, if you know anything about sailors, they would cuss like crazy. Man, they were wicked, vile. And the captain on John Newton's ship told him he had to watch out his language because it was so bad. And man, there John Newton, under deep conviction, realized, I'm lost without God. God saved his soul. He wrote those words, Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. On John Newton's wall in the study, he had that verse, Deuteronomy 15:15. It goes like this. It says, thou shalt remember that thou wast a bondman in the land of Egypt, and the Lord thy God redeemed thee. You know what Paul's doing here in verse number 15, 16, and 17? He's remembering what God had saved him from. You know what I'm afraid we do so many times in our lives? We forget what God has rescued us from. We forget our own testimony. We think we're somebody. We think we're all that. Let me say, child of God, we are nothing without God. And Paul said, I'm just so thankful that as I sit here writing this letter to you, Timothy, I'm thankful for the King eternal, immortal, invisible, who rescued me, saved me, and he's placed me into the ministry. So, child of God, I don't know where you're at tonight. I don't know what you're facing. Don't know what you're going through. But I hope tonight, like Paul of old, you'd revisit what God did in your life. Yes, the law pointed out your need for Christ, but Paul obtained mercy. If you're here tonight, you don't have the mercy of God, you've never been saved. Man, call out to God, ask him to save you. And man, you can look back as you serve him, saying, you know what, I'm humbled because I realize where I was at. I realize how much God's grace was given to me, that he saved me, not only saved me, but he used me for his glory and for his honor. So just some practical things tonight. Never forget what God saved you from. Never forget the law and its importance. And never forget the ministry that God has called you and called me to. I hope tonight, child of God, you take these things and let them sing into your heart. And man, let's go forward for God. Let's use these tools to make a difference for him. Let's find our place of service and be busy for the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for your word tonight. And Lord, thank you for the law. Lord, the law is good because it points out man's need for Christ. And Lord, I'm thankful that it just didn't stop at the law, but I'm thankful that Jesus Christ died on the cross after fulfilling the whole law, never one time sinning, and then he offered salvation to us. And like Paul's own testimony was, I was guilty before God, but then I obtained mercy. Not only did I obtain mercy, but then I was entrusted with the gospel and enabled. And then I went out and I did something for God. Lord, thank you so much for the King eternal, immortal, invisible, who saved our soul. Now, Father, I pray that we would always reflect upon that. Lord, help us to find our place in ministry and to serve the Lord. We need your help. And Lord, help us to keep our eyes upon the Lord Jesus Christ in your precious name. Amen.